And folks, I'm joined now by Dean Kim Sidnor, who's an associate professor and a dean here at Morgan State University. She has a PhD in health policy and management and a BS in psychology. And so we just wanted to speak with Dr. Sidnor, right, the dean of the School of Community Health and Policy, to talk with us about where we are now with the vaccination here in Baltimore City and where we are with these rising numbers of people testing COVID positive, which is very concerning. Dean Sidnor, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Dr. Kev?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for joining us. Can you talk with us about the concerns that we're seeing around the rising COVID infections here in Baltimore City?
Well, I mean, I think the concerns are certainly justified by the data. Maryland is seeing a spike or has been in that mode for the past few weeks. I think many of us have heard the story of Michigan and how highly frightening those numbers have become. And they may have to do some rollback because of how intense the virus has become in the presence of the variant. And so it really is a moment, and I thank you for this opportunity to talk, because it is like level setting. We've been talking about COVID so much. I'm sure there's COVID fatigue, and people all are just saying the same thing. But we really are at a different moment in time. It is critical juncture. And if we do what we need to do, we can actually probably bring this pandemic to a close and start to understand what our new normal looks like.
Right.
But these numbers are telling us that we need to just take a pause and make sure we're doing all we can to get that done.
Mm.
I do want to say that thank you all, WEA family, for having this COVID message being delivered mm-hmm. for such a long period of time. It's really great that the work that you're doing, really appreciate that. As Dean of the School of Community Health and Policy, we certainly have a vested interest in this area. Many of our schools are focused on it. But the fact that WEAA took up this mantle and has done this work, we want to thank and applaud you. I also want to say that we're at a moment where I do think that terminology of all in this together is
yes.
really critical, particularly as we start talking about vaccination. So we may not all have the same experiences and see COVID the same way. We may think about it differently. Nevertheless, we're all in the same boat. We're only going to get out of it if we're all rowing in the same way. So I do hope that through this focus that you all are providing an opportunity for over the next 2 weeks, we can have some different perspectives and voices, making sure everyone is heard, concerns get expressed and addressed, and then we find a way forward out of that platform that you've set the table for. But I really, as a native Baltimorean, I have to own that and, you know, fully disclose, I have vested interest in Baltimore City and the area, being a native born Baltimorean and seeing these numbers. It is very disconcerting what's going on, particularly in the Black and Hispanic community. So we've got work to do. We've got conversations to be had. And I really hope, and I know you all have not done this, so I want to reemphasize that this is not about stigmatizing anyone who is thinking about being vaccinated. This is not that kind of conversation. It is about getting as much fact and information on the table to help people make good choices. And in my mind, as a public health professional, the good choice is to be vaccinated, but everybody's got to be heard in the conversation.
I'm so glad you're saying that. I want to have you talk, please, about the other concerns that we're seeing. So I know I spoke to a friend this morning. Her daughter has just been hit with a heavy case of COVID-19. She was partially vaccinated. She'd had one shot in, and her best friend's boyfriend caught COVID, but he ended up infecting like 10 people. And so now
right.
she said, well, why did we get a shot? I'm like, yeah, but we still have to be careful. So can you talk a little bit about that, Dean Sidnor? So even if you are one shot or two shots into this thing, or one shot and done with Johnson & Johnson, you still can't let your guard down.
Right. So I think that's a frustrating thing for most people, and you raise a really excellent point. Number one, for the two-shot vaccines, you need two shots to get that level of protection that everybody's talking about. So if it's Pfizer or Moderna, you need to go back and get the two shots. Once you've begun the journey, you might as well finish it. For the Johnson & Johnson, it is a one-shot vaccine, but you still need 2 weeks after you completed the cycle with any of the three to get what they call fully vaccinated. So one is a timing issue. You have a window of exposure before that vaccine is really fully in effect. The other issue is the vaccine doesn't say that you cannot get COVID. What the vaccine does best is say it prevents hospitalization and severe cases. So we got to be clear about that language. But nothing's 100% certain. And so while we're in this environment with the variant roaming around and being very aggressive, not wanting to leave us, we need to still mask up in those public spaces in particular and protect ourselves and, more importantly, as importantly rather, protect others by masking, distancing, and hand sanitizing. And I think from what I'm hearing, that's probably one of the most difficult pills to swallow. It's like, I'm getting these shots. I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to do. And now you're telling me I still have to behave as if I'm at risk for COVID. And the simple answer is, yes, you do.
Well, how about the concern that people have? I mean, which is why I always feel uncomfortable. Like, oh, I've had the first shot, and this is how I'm feeling. Like, they lay down all their symptoms, and it's making other people nervous.
Yeah, well, that's just a real thing, right?
Right.
I had the conversation with my niece yesterday, and she was saying, well, my friends got the shot, and they felt really bad, and so I don't know about this shot. We need to tell folks the full truth that, yes, because that vaccine is triggering our immune response, those side effects may occur. They don't occur for everybody, but they do. There's some indication that they're happening more aggressively in slightly younger, healthier age groups. But there's really no indication that these are sustained or long-term side effects. But we can't minimize them. I mean, we need to be really clear, frank, and upfront about it. But say, most importantly, would you rather have 2 days of side effects from the vaccine or who knows how long living with the effects of COVID? And so I think that's the discussion we just have to be frank and open about and realize that those concerns are real. And for some people, 2 days of being sick is a lot of time lost. If you don't have a stable employment base, if you have to care for a child, for some of us, it's like, okay, 2 days, I'll stay in bed. Some folks don't have the luxury of 2 days in bed. So we really do have to talk about it, see what we can do to mitigate it, make sure folks have support systems and structures so that the side effects don't become the major barrier to getting vaccinated.
And so can you talk, my last question to you, Dean Sidnor, I didn't want to open up the phone lines and talk with people, but my last question to you, can you lay out for us what the next 2 weeks will look like? Because every day we have committed at 4:30 p.m. to a, quote, we're all in this together, all out push, not to have people feel like we're trying to guilt you into getting a shot. We're not trying to make it punitive. We're just trying to give you as much information as you need so you can make the best decision. Can you talk with us about what the next 2 weeks will look like? So I know you're going to join us here this week, you know, just kind of checking in every day at 4:30.
Right. So I'm lucky enough I get to be sort of your sidekick, which is an enviable position to be in, I'm sure. And we're going to have different perspectives come to the table and talk openly and frankly about what's going on with COVID right this minute, like that fierce urgency of now. I wanted to make sure I got that quote right. The fierce urgency of now in this moment. To reactivate this conversation, we got Mother's Day, Memorial Day, July 4th coming.
Graduations are coming.
Exactly. Grad commencements are coming. Those are risky periods. And so we're getting the best of the best to come forward and talk again. I don't want to give away the cast of folks who will be coming, but I think they'll be excited. You can do that, but I don't want to do it and steal the thunder. I don't know what's out. But we are going to be talking with some people who I think are critical in the community. And for me, that's what we want to make sure the conversation, you're very good at that. And so I think over the next 2 weeks, we're going to reflect that commitment to community voice and community perspective to be on the table for all the communities who are at risk. And as I said, we are definitely all in this together, and nobody is outside COVID scope.
Oh, thank you so much, Dean Kim Sidnor. She's right here at Morgan State University, Dean of the School of Community Health and Policy. She's going to join us every day for the next couple of weeks, just at 4:30 p.m., a quick check-in. We're going to have community voices, activists, leaders, politicians, you know, owners of gyms, I mean, people that you know to talk about. We're moving away just for a minute. You've heard from doctors on this. You heard from everybody from Fauci to DeRosa on this show. It's now time to just talk to everyday people like you and me who are just thinking about this and struggling with this and trying to make the best and safest decision.
I completely agree.
Thank you so much, Dean Sidnor.